Morning, Masir Pesach in Daf Nun Gimel. Just want to quickly do a very short recap. We had a Maase yesterday on Nun Bet Amud Bet, but about 12 lines up, we had Rabbi Lai cut Kafnai to the Shvid. We saw that Rabbi Lai cut this tree down of a Shemitah tree, and as a result, right, the Gemara said, Hechi Avidachi, how could he do this? You'd have to cut down stuff on Shvid. You'd have to take food down to eat it, but not to waste it. Right? And the problem was that they had these unripe fruits on the tree, or these small fruits on the tree, and it seemed like he was going to be wasting all the food. Rashi says there was a dekel with lots of the kafniot, little dates, that hadn't yet been ripened. So that's really the whole question. So then we said, how could he do it? And we said, maybe it's only relevant when they are ripe, when they're not ripe. Not really. You can't say that, because Rav Nachman say that these matchili, these like the guardings we saw, like this, like outer casing, like the shell of the oil, was also asur because it was called the pri. And when do we have these guarding? At what stage do we have these kofri on the tree? And we said we have them when the trees are very young, and they called it fruit. So the Gemara gave an answer, no, Rav Nachman, it holds like Rabbi Yossi. Because the Gemara said, how could Rav Nachman, didn't Rav Nachman say Matchini? So once Rav Nachman is like Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi holds that smadar like little grapes. And the very first, like as the grapes start budding on the grapevine, or us because of fruits. However, pligi Rabbi Nalei. So what I want to say was that when it comes to the grapes, it would depend that Rav Nachman, he holds it as asur. Why? Because he holds like Rabbi Yossi. And we've got a Mishnah where Rabbi Yossi says that smadar, the little fruits as they're beginning to fruit, are called fruit. But nobody else agrees with him. Okay, so that's why it wasn't a problem when Rabbi Eli cut down the tree. So it had little kafnai, Rashi says over there, right? And we said that they were there, these kafniot were little. So he says the kafniot on the dekel is like smadar on the grape. And therefore Chachamim argue Rabbi Nachman's the one who said it's a problem, but Chachamim don't say that it's a problem. So now the Gemara is like that. Matkila Rav Shimi min Harda. Umi pligi Rabbi Nana leid Rabbi Yossi b'shari lanot. So now it appeared, up until now, that the machloket Rabbi Yossi and Chachamim was across the board. That on every single tree they had the same machloket. That Rabbi Yossi said, little budding, spudding, whatever you call them, blossoming, beginning of the fruit, is called fruit. And Chachamim say no. And therefore, Rabbi Lai over here, who chopped down this tree, he wouldn't be a problem because he's got like Rabbi, he would got like Rabbanan. But that would only work if there was a machlok between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi on every single tree. If we can prove that the machlok Rabbi Nan and Rabbi Yossi is on one or two or three trees, but on all the other trees, then our question returns. How could he chop down the tree if it had the fruit on the tree? With me? That's what we're up to. That's more or less what we should have stopped yesterday. But I carried on. Okay, so now the Gemara says, do they argue on all trees? When do you have to stop cutting down trees on Shvid? But Shammai said, call it Yotziu. But Shammai said that all trees across the border makes no difference as soon as they start a process in Nisan. But he also says, no, he also says that it makes it depends. Acharuvin, Mishi Yeshushru, we got the carob. Gefanim, that's what we're speaking about now, the Gefanim, the vines, Misha Yegareu, right? And Yegareu, Rashi says, yeah, Misha Gadlu and Avim Katsat, Venikru Giru, and Lakam Mefar Shiro, Kafulavam. We'll see that like, when they become like the size of a white bean. And Vazeti Misha Yanitsu, when they start blossoming. Vashar Kola Ilanot, Misha Yotsiu. And all the other trees are from the moment they start having a bit of fruit. And basically like Beit Shammai really, and all the other trees, Beit Shammai says everything's the same. He'll said, no, we've got grapes and we've got carobs and we've got vine and olives, which are a little bit different. But the rest of the trees are Mishnah Yotziu. And the Gwena Asi explains now what that Mishnah meant. What does it mean Mishnah Yotziu? Of Amrav Asi, who boser, who gerua, who pul halavan. So now Rav Asi explains of yeah, what does it mean Mishnah Yotziu? So he says, either boser, right? Now, Boser over here really is Mishiyotziu, right? Boser, look at Rashi over here. Boser, the Amar, Kol Eched Itnan, or Boser or Gerua, Kulu Chaleres, it's all the same measure. And Boser Itnan Begitin, in Gitin Mishat, Knisat Amayim Le Boser. Okay, so basically Rashi is telling us that Boser and Gerua are the same thing, it's one measure. Right? Who put a Laban? The Gemara says, what do you mean put a Laban? How can you put a Laban? Put a Laban is a bean. Put a Laban, it's like that. And I'm a shiur kefula Laban. The size of a full Laban. Okay. So up until now we've seen that according to Beit Hillel, which is our chachamim, for our purposes, right? What is the, when is the stage that you got to stop cutting down the trees? Misha Yotziu. So Gemara now says, okay. So Uman Shamat Leida Amar Boser in Smadar Lo. Who's the one who makes the distinction between Boser and Smadar? So Smadar are little grapes as well. Right? Smadar are also small grapes. Look at Rashi, there's an important Rashi over here. Uman Tani de Shamat Leida Amar Boser Hu Dehave Pire. When it becomes Boser, it's called fruits. Kniktani Mishe Yigereu. Because the grapevine, remember, had a distinction. There was a special time for the grapes. We said, Mishe Yigareu. Dahainu Boser, and that is Boser. Aval Smadar lo. Smadar, it wouldn't be considered fruit yet. We'll say, who's that? That's Rabbanan. Uktani Demodu Bashar Ilanot. And we see that even Rabbanan, who have an argument in the size and the stage and the period, Smadar, yes, Boser, no, the other way around. When it comes to other trees, there they're in agreement. They don't have a machloket. So Hadrav Asi, the Gemara goes back to Hadrav Asi. Now we had in this line of business, Amrav Asi, who boser, who girua. Hadrav Asi, who boser, who girua, nakat hacha, mishum delotayme girua, hainu smadar. So who's making the distinction between boser and smadar? That boser, right, would be the measure and smadar not. Rabbi Yossi. So that is Rabbi Yossi. So now the girls put this whole thing in context, that the machloket in our Mishnah between Boser and Smadar, the different stages, is Rabbi Yossi. Chachamim only had that opinion machloket with him with regards to grapes. But with regards to the rest of the trees, there's no machloket. So really our response, when we try to respond and say that Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Baravua, that we had a very small stage, right? The Gemara said that that was Rabbi Yossi and Chachamim Macholek and Rabbi Yossi. So we wanted to try and say that Rabbanan, right, that it's not a problem. Rabbi Eli was holding like Rabbanan over here. It'll be Rabbi Yossi who tells Asru, but Rabbanan wouldn't say it's Asru. But the Gemara says you can't say that. Because I didn't tell Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan had a machloket with regards to grapes. With regards to the rest of the trees, they're in agreement that you can't chop down small trees with small fruits on them. So how could he have chopped down these trees? They were considered food. They were considered edibles. Right? Back in the Gemara now, Shar Kolina Not Misha Yotziu. So now we've got a question. How then could Rav Eli have chopped down those trees? Could we see that Rabbanan say that from the earliest stage that the fruit start appearing on all other trees except these, the carob and the zai and the olive and the grape, they're considered food if you can't chop them down? Somewhere has to give another answer. It says, El Rav Eli, B'denischeni ketz. What did he chop down? Look at Rashi Avia. B'denischeni ketz. Tamarim shel dekel zachar. These were dates that were growing on a male palm tree, not the female. Right? Now, I'm not an expert in palm trees. And I'll be honest with you, I wanted to look this up, but I didn't look it up. But he says over here, V'einan mit bashlin bo olamit. They never ripen. In other words, they're like almost like false fruits in a sense. That they have a fruit on the tree, but it never becomes a big, nice, fresh, big fruit. So they always stay that little size. The godrin oto benisan, right? Vehen mit bashlot me alehen bekli kapotrin. And then you take them down and you wrap them up in like in a leaf, in a palm leaf, and they ripen themselves. Ud olam hem tanot, and they're always small. Hilchach Rabbi Eli lo afsid midi. The Gemara says, really, Rabbi Eli, when he chopped down this tree, he wasn't wasting any fruit. Because those fruit in there looked to the naked eye or to the untrained eye. They looked like little unripened fruits. But really, they were the best they're going to get on the tree. And the process for eating those fruits is to take them off the tree and then wrap them up in palm leaves and let them ripen. And therefore, he wasn't wasting any food. So we asked a question yesterday. We said, hey, Avidachi, how could we do that? Said the Torah said that you can cut down these fruits on Shemitah to eat, but not to waste them. Yeah, that's exactly what he was doing. He was cutting down the tree, and he was taking the fruits, wrapping them up in palms, and they're going to get ripened, and he wasn't wasting anything, and therefore there wasn't a problem to begin with. Ketara ben Gemara carries on with the brighter. Ochlin banavim ad sheichlu dlayot shel ochel. So it says grapes, you can eat the grapes until when? Ad sheichlu dlayot shel ochel. Rashi says over here that ochel is a particular place. It says makom kramim, where they had vines. Vita garsi shel avel vuhu avel kramim. Rashi says, is a version that says that this is called avel kramim. That ochel is avel kramim. And what are dlayot? Dlayot, Rashi says, is trilish. So if you look in Likutei Rashi there, in Loazei Rashi, he says, Tarish Perush Tlayot, Rad Gefanim Amudalot Al Gabe Klunasot Venesarim. These are grapes which grow on vines. Like we know the vine, that these like wooden, they basically grow the grape up on a wooden, you know, like a wooden support. Those are the Tlayot. So he says, Avia, basically, when the vines are finished in Ovel, in this place, Ochel, when they've no longer got vines there, that's the measure you can carry on eating grapes for. And if you've got a places where they've even got grapes in the fields later than that time, then you can eat those as well. Because we try to understand now, for each particular fruit, what is the measure during Shemitah that we can eat this fruit for? In other words, where do we look to see when the fruits are considered finished in the field? And Tekoa is the place that's in the Gush. Right, Tekoa, if it's the same place. Rashi is a makom zaitim, it's a place of olive, kridam, menachot, menachot, Tekoa, alfa lishman. Right, seems like it's the best place for olives. Umitoch shehashemen matzui sham v'regilim bo, very common to have olives there, matzuin chachamim ein. That's why chachamim would be there, kidichtir ba'ishlach, yotzei Tekoa. Basically, chachamim went around there, it was obviously a good place to be. So that is, Tekoa is for the olives. Rabbi Lezer omer, ad shechele acharon shel gush chalav. He says gush chalav. Rashi says, Yanami Yikazaitim Tuva, also got a lot of grapes in that place. Fubichel Kosher Asher, Tichtiv Bay, Vetoval B'Shemen Raglo, in the Brocha to Asher. So he was Vetoval B'Shemen Raglo, there'd be a place full of oil. Right, so in those places as well. Kadesh Ye Ani, and he gives a measure of Lezer Omer, Achi Kale Acharon Shel Gush Chalav. And then, so we're in the middle of a bright, the bright Satara, Ochlin, Banavim, Achi Yichlud Layot Shel Ochel. And then we see if we may be Ochlin. And Zaitim Tekoa. Rabbi Lezer Omer Ad Shechale Acharon Shel Gush Chalav. Now the question is, it's not very clear here from the Gemara. Kedei Sheyihu Ani Yotzei Ve'enu Motzei Lo Begufo Ve'lo Bikaro Rova. What is considered no longer having enough fruits on the tree? When a poor person goes and he looks, and he can't find neither on the leaves nor on the trunk itself, a Rova Kav, enough fruits like that. Now the question, who said that? Was Rabbi Lezer saying that? Or are we back to Tanakama? The Tanakama say, Ochlim Banavim, and Tekoa, and then Rabbi Lezer got interjected and said, Gush Chalav, and then Tanakama said, Kedeshi Ani Yotzei Ve'enu Motzei. I don't know. Somebody said it, but that was the measure. Ochlin Begrugarot, now we've got Grugarot. What are Grugarot? So Rashi said, Grugarot Tehnim Yaveshim, you know that, dry figs. Ad Sheichlu Pagei Beit Hini. So dry figs until the Pagei, the little figs in Beit Hini. Rashi says again, it's a place called Beit Hini, are finished. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Lohus grew Pagei Beit Hini el Inyan Maaser. Here Rabbi Yehuda says, what's the relevance of Beit Hini? This place Beit Hini. So it says the relevance of Beit Hini is for as far as Maaser is concerned. Rashi says, Lohus grew Beit HaMidrash lechashev piri el le Maaser. What's going to be have to know where we're going to take Truma Maaser from? Right? In the Gemara it's like this, because we've got Pagei Beit Hini, Vahini de Tovina chavim Maaser. That it tells along the way that these the figs in these places of Beit Hini and Hini de Tovina or Chayev in Maaser. Rashi says over here, Hini Tamarim or dates over here. So Rashi says Tamarim or pomegranates. She says Pagei Beit Hini, Ve'ahine or pomegranates or from Tovina, Chavim Maaser. Rashi says Makom, Votan Pagim, Votan Tamarim, Lo Lam Tamarim. They're always very small. So again, we might not have realized that these are fully fledged fruits and thought that they're part of a Maaser because they aren't properly developed. And therefore, when they say no, that these Pagei Beit Hini and Ahine of Tetuvina, they're like continental type stuff. I think there was a word like that once. We used to have, I think in house we had like continental, was that the word? Continental oranges? Am I pronouncing it wrong? Maybe. I'm confused, but I'll think about it in a second what I meant. What was it called there? We used to have like little plums. They had a name. They were called like very little. Not called continental. I've got the okay. Ochlin, carry on. The Megomer goes on. Ochlin betamarim at shechar mishra betzor. So now we got to a tamarim date. We saw this already. Early on, we saw this the other day. Ochlin betamarim at shechar liachron shebetzor. That was tzor was the place where we said that was famous for the tamarim. Shemegam liomer ochlin at shel beit hakifin. Vein ochlin al shel bein hashitzin. Remember, we said it was depending where they were. We said that the palm tree, we've got the dates, either in the top parts in the leaves, or those get connected in the thorns. And we said in the shitzin, in the thorns, it wouldn't help because the animals couldn't get there to eat them. So we concerned only with the ones that are in the kiffin. That's all we said. Yeah, we got a kashia. We said, So now the Gemara brings a bright. It said, you eat grapes until Pesach. Now we've no longer got places in the towns. Just now we learned, we said there, Ochlin banavim ad shichlu dlayot shel ochel, the place ochel. Now the Gemara says you can eat grapes until Pesach. Bezeitim ad atzeret, and dates until Shavuot. Begrugarot, and these dry figs, right, ad hachanukah. And tamarim ad apurim. And tamarim, right, dates until Purim. Now the brighter, which we saw a second ago, said, Ochlin betamarim ad shichalei acharon shebetzor. You can eat dates so long as the last one in Tzor is still in the tree. Now this brightly said you can eat dates until Purim. Amar Rabibi, and Rabibi said that Rabbi Yochanan Tarteba tried to machli, would switch the last two around. And he would say that Ochlin begrugarot ad Purim and Tamarim ad Chanukah. But either way, whether Tamarim or ad Purim, or whether the dates are Purim or Chanukah, and the figs of Purim Chanukah makes no difference. It's a stira to our brighter, because our brighter says that you eat until Tzor, till the dates until the end of Tzor. The Gemara answers and says, "Aidi va'aidi chad shiruhu." Really, it's the same. The answer here, you see, Rabbi Chananel helps us. He says at the bottom here, towards the bottom of Rabbi Chananel, he says v'shaninan, and we answer, "Aidi va'aidi chad shiruhu." They both one measure. Klomar hatmarim. The dates, kalim b'tzor b'purim. It's the same thing. When we say that the dates, but as long as there's still dates in the tree in Tzor, and this bright that says Purim, so he hasn't gone with a change around him. It says Purim, but it could be Chanukah. Whatever the case is, it's no stira. When the time in Tzor that the dates start finishing on the tree is basically Chanukah Purim, like this bright over here. So there isn't a stira between the two brightas. V'yibayit ayma, if you want to say another answer, Ha'katani behedya. We've actually learned this from Mefura, straight out. Im yesh mucharot ben ochlin alehen. Im yesh mucharot mehen ochlin me. I guess that thanks to Ira explained, basically, the Gemara already told us that if there are more, we can go further. So if it's finished by that particular time of the year, but they are still in one other place, then you'll be able to eat them. Okay, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. Siman laharim milin. So now he's giving us all simanim over here. The bride, we've a bit of a sidetrack here from our subject here. We're not discussing minhagim at the moment. But he said like this, siman laharim milin. That says, afatin glish. Aval sharinanot shebaharin en yafin. So he says over here, Rashi's glish perush afatim. Right? So these are particular types of fruits which will grow nicely in the mountains. Other trees in the mountains, they don't really produce very nicely. We'll see that you've got to bring bikurim from the best. So if you've got bare trees, right, that are growing in the mountains, even if it might be a minimum, whatever the case is, so those you're not going to bring. I think that the Milinavi, I think, is an oak tree. I think I saw that somewhere, but everyone's got an English translation there. But I think I saw there was an oak tree, that oak trees grow nicely in the mountains. Siman la'amakim, now trees growing in the valleys. We've got Siman dekalim, palm trees. Palm trees grow nicely. Rashi says, yeah, dates grow nicely. Siman le'nechalim, along the rivers, right? Kanim, so those are reeds. Siman le'shvela shikma. In the Shvela, that's like where we live over here now, in the plains. So Shikma is, Rashi is the Einol Sepri, but that's a sycamore tree, right? Those are Shikma, sycamore tree. I have to mention it now as well, that Arik Sharon's farm was called Givata Shikmim. It's called the sycamore farm, right? There's no real proof for this. We've got a pasuk, which sort of reminds us about that. Rashi mentioned that the Shvela there is Eretz Mishor, like the plains, like we live, like a flat lands. And we'll see what the Nafkamina is as far as the Mishor is concerned. The Gemara brings the pasuk Shneemar, and the pasuk is V'yitena Melech et Akesef Yerushalayim. The king gave the Gemara, this is pasuk in Melachim, that the king gave the money in Jerusalem. Ka'avanim ve'et arazim natan kashikmim asher bashvela lerov. So, and the arazim were the cedars, natani gave kashikmim, like the shikmim which were in the shvela. So there's really a zeichel davar here that appears only for the shvela. Right? You bring the word across a bit, arazim, bashikmim, asher bashvela lerov. Rashi says, yeah, kashikmim asher bashvela, shma mina derech shvela leshikmim. We see over here that the shvela is where the shikmim grow. Umihu lav raya gemuri, says Rashi, not actually perfect proof. Ladadim ain bashikmim, lo te kroshvela. It's not a proof. In other words, if you come in for we'll see in a moment, for Mekach, you want to buy a piece of land in the Shvela, and you come there and you see that there's no shikamim on the tree in the field, you can't go say to the guy, that's not called the Shvela, because by definition, Shvela should have shikamim. That's not the case. Right? That's what Rashi's pointing out, that you can't use that. And then Gemara carries on, Siman la'arimilin, what is Siman la'amakim dekalim? So now we quoted the others brighter. We said that Siman la'arim, I think it's an oak tree. I'm still waiting for someone to give me an English translation there. Anybody got an English there? Ira?
Golnut.
Okay. All right. Siman la'arim milin, siman la'makim dekalim. So what says, nafkamina le'bikurim. What's the practical implication at bikurim? And we know we've got to bring bikurim from the best. If you look at the very last narrow lines of Rashi, there's no dibura matchil, but it starts the second word. It says, bikurim ketiv asher tavi me'artzecha. So we see we've got Eretz Chita, the seven species are attached to your fruits as well. He says there, the pasuk there speaking about the in praise of Eretz Yisrael. Afkan Shevach Eretz. Therefore, we see as well that even whenever we're talking about bringing Bikurim, it has to be from the best. Did not emivim Bikurim and Mishivat Haminim from the seven species. And even though a dekel is a date, it's one of the palms, is a seven species, not from a dekel baharim, because it doesn't grow there. Velomi perot shemakim, not from the other fruits in the valleys, right? Because we only want the best. And where's the siman nechalim karim? So we said over here, the nechalim on the reeds. Nafkamina lenachal etan. What's that in nachal etan? Nachal etan, Rashi points out over here, is we know with the igla arufa, tarich shiyu kanim gdalimbo, ve'ilo lo mikre nachal. With the Eglarufai, the Torah tells us you take the Eglarufai, there's a murder committed, you find a dead body. They've got to measure the distance from the body to the closest town. And the closest town, the Zakanim come it, and they've got to take an Eglar, right, which hasn't done any work. And Wamum, like someone, it's like a paraduma, the same idea. It's got to have never worked. And they break its neck, and they're going to dip its head in the neck. But it has to be, they're going to do this all by a Nachal Eitan in an area where it's hard, unworked land, but it has to be called the Nachal. So Rashi telling us over here, this is Nafkamina for Nachal, because a Nachal means they have to have reeds. So if there aren't reeds growing, that's not called a Nachal. That would be a Nafkamina as far as Nachal is concerned. Siman Shvela Shikma, we said there on the straits where we live, right, the sycamore trees is the Siman. Nafkamina Lemekach Umemkar. So that's, like I said, that's for trade. Right, look at Rashi over here, Lemekach Umemkar. Shefelani mochelach tarich shiubo shkamim shikmim. That if you tell the guy you're sending him a shikma, I think I said the opposite way around a few minutes ago. But what was it I meant to say? Then Rashi points out over here that if you sell a person land in the shvela, if you say in your contract, let's say you're sitting at the moment on an aeroplane, and you say, listen, I've got land in Israel in the shvela, and I'm going to sell you the shvela, and he only wants land in the shvela, and he comes there, it has to have a sycamore tree on it to be called shvela. If sycamore trees don't grow around there, that would be grounds for the guy to break the deal. It wouldn't be called Shveda. Okay, back to Minag now, new Mishnah. Makom shenahagu limkor b'hem adaka lenochrim mochrin. So in places where the Minag was to sell small animals like goats and sheep, etc., that's b'hem adaka. Like not big animals like oxen and cows, and those, that's b'hem agasa. Right, so b'hem adaka, small animals. There were places where they were had where no way to sell them to the goyim. Right, then you can sell, Makom shenagu shelo limkor ein mochrin. Right, so that would depend on minhag. Look, Rashi, if makom shenagu shelo limkor, why would you not want to sell? Dichmir alatzman deal ma'ate limkor gasa. But it's like a gzeira, because you weren't allowed to sell gasa, big animals. So there were places where the makom, we don't sell any animals to goyim. Full stop. Why we don't sell, we'll see in a moment. Ubechol makom ein mochrin lahem b'hem gasa. And anyhow, you wouldn't sell them by Megasa and make the difference. Agalim v'sayachim, whatever the stages they were, shlemin v'shvurin, even if they were whole, or even if they were a little bit damaged. Look at Rashi over here. B'chol makom mochrin by Megasa. Why not? The gazu b'rabanan, rabanan b'rakzaira. Mishum shayla u'mishum schirut. Right? U'mishum nisyuni b'masechet avodah zora. Because, look at the end of the Rashi v'shal, mitzuvah al shvitat b'hem to b'shabbat. We've got a mitzvah that our animals have to also shovet on Shabbos. They can't work on Shabbos. Now you might come and rent your animal to a goy, or lend your animal to a goy, and then he's going to use your animal on Shabbos. Right? So to prevent you from renting or doing anything, you don't sell. No business with a goy. And Rashi adds in another example, that Mishum Nisyoni Masechet Avodah Zorah is a story of Avodah Zorah, where it was Erev Shabbos and the goy came to borrow the animal and he was laden up with the animal, and because he heard the owner's voice and recognized the owner's voice, it was if the owner was called, he came running towards the owner carrying stuff on Yontif and that on Shabbos, that would be called Mechamer. He would be making the animal to run, and therefore we don't want you doing any business with the goyim whatsoever. Now, there's a Likutei Rashi over here, which is from a Gemara Avodah Zorah itself, which is Makom Shagulim Kor Bahamadaka Kagon Makom Shlo Nechshedu. He gives another example there, Rashi, from in Avodah Zorah. What was the problem with sending animals to Goyim? They were chashud on Arviyah, that they would sleep with these animals, have sexual relations with animals. So therefore, we didn't want to get involved in causing people to be over on such an issue. So our animals, we didn't want to do with them. So there were places where they weren't choshed on the Goyim, therefore you could sell them, the little animals. And there were places where they weren't choshed, where they were choshed, they wouldn't sell them. So that would be the minag, would be according to the place, etc. That's another example over there. Rabbi Yehuda Matir B'Shvura. Rabbi Yehuda says, look at Rashi B'Shvura. D'lo mahanila v'shachtula. It's a damaged animal. It's not going to help him much to do anything. He's going to shecht it. Hilchach lo chazila Yisrael gabe nochri. Right? V'lo atei le'mishrei mechira achriti. He says, therefore, this isn't a problem. And this one caused you, if you sell him a broken one, that isn't a reason to gozer, not even sending a broker, but what can you do with it? Let him shecht and have it. It's not going to cause you to end up maybe sending him other animals at the same time. That's what Yehuda says. Ben Betayra Matir Besus. Ben Betayra says, horses are also good. You can sell goyim horses. Look at Rashi Fishim Lachtom Rechiva. Venisioni Didei Lekele Migzar Bahen. And he says, because really, what is an animal's, a horse's job? It's for riding. And this whole thing of trying it out and lady, having the animal laden with goods is not a problem because the guy's going to get it, he's going to ride it. So your voice not going to make it, not going to detain by Erem Mishum Shvut. And he says the whole issue of riding is also only an issue of Shvut. We'll see them. We've learned it in Mesechet Shabbos as well. And the reason why you can't ride an animal on Shabbos is because you might come and break off a branch off the tree to use as a shot to ride your animal. Really, there's no issue of riding animal on Shabbos midoraita. So even the riding of the animal is not like mechamer, not like packing up your donkey and carrying away stuff, which is the right of shovet on Shabbos. This is the rabbanan only. So therefore, Bebetayu is less concerned about horses. And then Mishnah ends off and says, Makom shnagu lechol tzli b'le psachim ochlin. In places where they've got a minag to eat roasted meats on Erev Pesach, and at the Seder you can allow it. And makom shnagu shlo lechol ein ochlin. In places where they don't have a minag, where you aren't allowed, shlo lechol, says, the mikseh koch ha-pesach b'chut. Looks like eating the korban Pesach. As far as I know, and there's somebody here who wants to tell me differently, but I think all of us today are noheg not to eat roasted meats at the Seder. We don't have a roast lamb on a spit, for example. We have, as a maybe there are a dot which do, you muted, Daddy, I can't hear you. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Asur ladam shiomar, basar zeh lepesachu. You can't, says Rabbi Yehuda, says the name of Rav, you can't even say that this meat is my Pesach. Because it seems like you're dedicating it as a korban. If you didn't get it as a korban, we've mentioned you come out from Emet Tovah Ochel Kochim Mechut. So eating a korban, Atzah Barame, Atzah Harab, Atzah Yerushalayim. It's an issue. So Amar Papa, Dafke Basar. Papa says that's only relevant to meat itself. But if it comes to wheat and stuff like that, that's not a problem. That's your Pesach for the wheat, right? That you're going to keep wheat to make a matzah from, that's not a problem. You can say it's for Pesach. Why? The min tar le Pesach ka'amar. Because really a person understands that you say that I'm keeping that flour for Pesach, you're not saying you're dedicating it as if it's a korban of any kind. Everyone knows you're using it to keep it so that it wouldn't become wet and etc. and become chometz for your matzah. The Gemara says, and really, and ubasa, no. And with meat, you can't even say that. You can't say basa for Pesach. Maybe the Gemara says, seems to be a little bit different. Amar Yossi, Todos Ish Romi, there was this famous Jewish guy. Rashi says here, Yisrael Chashuv Shayab Romi, he was in Rome, a famous Jew in Rome. Hin he get b'nei Romi lechol gedi'i mekulasin b'leileh psachim. That he would get the Romans, I'm assuming that they were Roman Jews, right? Not Goyim. I don't see anything in here, but anybody got a note anywhere, I'd like to know. But I think he was talking about the Jews in Rome. In other words, he led the Jews in Rome. To eat gedi'im, the deer mekulasin b'leileh psachim. What does it mean mekulasin over here? Rashi's mekulasin tsluin. They were roasted. Rosho al kreav al kreav on a spit. Basically, you take a nice little goat and have a lamb or goat on the spit, erev Pesach. Ketzliara Pesach, exactly how they would roast the korban Pesach. Tatanya b'ketzatzorim, we learned him, we'll see him in later on, the Vayin Dalet. Rabbi Akiva korehu mekulas. Rabbi Akiva called it mekulas. Lefi shetole kreav chutzelo. But Tzidor can also kli zanu. But yeah, how special why it's called mekulas. So now we see over here that he did this. The gazarnu. It's a chachamim said to him. Shalchulo. They said, "Im alei todus ata." If you weren't the famous todus, right? Gazarnu alecha nidu. We put you in chayru. Why? Shata machirat Yisrael kochim b'chutz. Because you're feeding Israel, kochim. What do you mean kochim? How can you feel them kochim? Kochim, sakata, what do you mean kochim? Ela eima, karov lahachil et Yisrael, kochim mechutz. Okay, yeah, the Gemara says it straight out. Yisrael, right? You're feeding Israel, the Jews. So the Gemara wants to say that you're telling me that no meats, I can't call any meat and say that's my Pesach. But wait a second, from this example with Tudus, what do we see? Mekulas in she'ein mekulas lo. What was the problem with Tudus? And he did it mekulas, he did it on a spit, like the way you did the Korban Pesach. But if you would just cook it in your house and you say that meat is my Pesach, wouldn't be a problem. So why are you telling me over here, right? Asur adam shomar basar ze lepesach u'minet shnira kemaktish b'hem atob o'ch kodshi b'chutz. That's only if you do it mekulas. If you just do it not. So Amar, the Gemara says, Amrei, mekulas loshna. So the Gemara answers it like this. You're right, this is the answer. If it's mekulas, so then loshna amar, loshna lo amar. Then even if you never said this is my Pesach, it's asur. And that was Tudus's problem. Tudus didn't say this is a korban Pesach or this is my basar le Pesach. He just did it mekulas. And that was already good enough to put him in chayru. But if it's she'ena mekulas, if you just cook it in your stove and you don't put it on a spit, then it will make a difference. Piresh, if you said Pesach in, then it's asur. Lo piresh, lo, then it wouldn't be asur. In other words, there's no issue to eat meat on Pesach. The issue is to either cook it on a spit or to define it as a korban Pesach. That's how we narrowed down that answer. To Rav Ravacha, matni la laha, matni tink Rabbi Shimon.
Wait, Danny, just to summarize, what was decided is that if you magdir, it's a problem. If you just cook it, it's okay, right?
If you magdir, no. If you cook it mekulas on a spit, like roasted on a you know, like a shiput, so then even if you didn't dedicate it, just doing that's already asur. Because that's how the Korban Pesach was cooked. If you cook it in your oven, then if you said it's a dedicated Pesach, it's asur. If you don't dedicate it, it's fine. Go ahead and cook your meat. Okay? Right. Rav Acha matni la laha matnitin k'Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Acha says that this Mishnah over here we just learned now was said in the name of Rabbi Shimon. Look at Rashi. The story of Tudus. Remember, we had, if you looked at the previous Amud, it said, Am Rabbi Yossi. Meitiv Am Rabbi Yossi, Tudus Ish Romi. So he had a version that said it wasn't Meitiv Am Rabbi Yossi, it was Meitiv Am Rabbi Shimon. Ish Tudus, Romi, etc. The whole story. So the Gemara is a bit concerned. Why would Rabbi Shimon be the one to get so excited about that? Right? Rabbi Shimon. Why would he? Rashi says, Rabbi Shimon, todos ish rom, etc. Matka Rabbi Shesh, Rabbi Shesh didn't like this, that it would be Rabbi Shimon. He says, Bishlom leman damat tani lak Rabbi Yossi dicha. It all makes sense. It was Rabbi Yossi who was the one that took the stand. And leman de amar, leman de matnik Rabbi Shimon, but the one now, like Rav Acha, who wants to say it was Rabbi Shimon, minicha, doesn't make sense. This doesn't fit. And why? He quotes at the moment, you'll see from the Gemara from Menachot. V'hatnan, Mishnah Menachot, Rabbi Shimon poter. We'll see now, Rashi explain in a moment what this is all about. Long Rashi over here, but just get the end of it. Rabbi Shimon is the one who says, patur. Why? Shelo hitnadev kederech hamitnadvim. Rabbi Shimon says like this, if you're going to donate something to the Beit HaMikdash, so there's a way to do it. If your donation wasn't done in the normal way of a donation, then it's not called a donation. So now, when we dedicate meat as a korban, there's a way to do it. If it isn't done properly, it shouldn't be called a korban. Rabbi Shimon is the one who makes that distinction. So let's see in Rashi here quickly. Rabbi Shimon Potter. It's like this. Ba'omer, this is the third narrow line, the fourth narrow lines of Rashi at the top. Shimon Potter, Ba'omer hare alayim mincha minasorim. If a person says like this, leave Rabbi Shimon a moment. We start. Ba'omer hare alayim mincha minasorim. A person says, this is my mincha, my korban mincha, my meal offering from barley. Right? Ba'omer hare alayim mincha minasorim. Ditnah meminachot mevi minachitin. You've got to bring a mincha, a meal offering comes from wheat, not from barley. So you now said, Omer alai from Bali. Dechevan da'amah hare alai mincha, tefos lashon rishon, u'mincha ena ba'a min asorin nedava, hirchach yavi bin achitin. Tanakame says, what's going on over here? You said, hare alai mincha, this is, behold, here is my meal offering, and you said from Bali. Tanakame said, listen, the first part of your lashon, what you said, that's what's important. You said, hare alai mincha. You have now committed a mincha. So how do you give a mincha? Not from barley. So you said, barley, ignore the barley. Take your barley, go home, thank you very much. Bring me back flour. Wheat. Right? Rabbi Shimon Poter. Rabbi Shimon, what are you talking about? You patur. Go home. Don't bring anything. Why? Da amar, af begemar dvarav adam nitfas. We don't only look at what you said at the beginning. We also look at what you said at the end. So you said at the beginning, I wanted to make a mincha. And then you said, what? Here's my barley. That's not a mincha. So it appears to us, you don't really want to give a mincha. Because everyone knows that a mincha comes from chitin, from sorin, from kemach psolet, which is chita, from wheat. So it's pashut, you don't really want to give a mincha. V'nidbak v'da'ato, l'chom ma sh'otzi b'piv, u'l'mincha tzorin, he actually meant a mincha tzorin of barley, v'savu sh'adam yachol t'anev u'davikach, and maybe he even thought you could even bring such a thing. We don't want anything from you. Go home. Thank you very much. Try again next time. And that's Rabbi Shimon. Let's look at Rashi. Vahai machil gedim mekulas nami. So the same thing with this guy who's feeding us a goat on a spit. Right? My karov lekochim mechutzika. What kochim? Why are we calling this kochim bachutz? Halo mechayim. Lo kara l'ashem Pesach. The guy never called this a korban Pesach. Va'afilu haya korelo shem. And even if he called it a Pesach b'shatz liya while it was roasting, shelo kederech ha-magdishinu. Va'en Hashem chal. This is not the way you do it. You don't dedicate a korban Pesach while it's on the spit. Korban Pesach, you take a korban Pesach, you buy it, you bring a chabura, and you get people together. You have a whole procedure around it. Then you bring it, then you shecht it, then you eat it. This is not a korban Pesach. So Rabbi Shimon, we see, Shimon's very particular. Things have to be done properly. So how could Rabbi Shimon be the Tana here to be concerned that Tudus was eating, feeding people come on Pesach in Rome? So that's his kasha over here. So Amalei Ravina, Rav Ashi, Uman de Matlak Rabbi Yossi Minichas, he says, you know what, okay, you convinced me that Rav Acha, who wanted to say that this was Rabbi Shimon, doesn't make sense. But are you, Rav Ashi says to Ravina says to Rav Ashi, but you think that if Rav Yossi taught it, it does make sense? You think with Rav Yossi it isn't a problem? Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi Abra. He was Rabbi Shimon going like in that Gemara there, Menachot, like Rabbi Yossi. So it seems to be that the opinion Yehud, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi are the same. That just like Rabbi Shimon was matir the guy there, he said that you have to do a nedava in this particular way, but derech mesuyemet. So too, Rabbi Yossi is of the same opinion, it looks like at the moment. The Amar af begemar dvarav adam nitfas. Remember, Rashi said two things about Rabbi Shimon. Rashi said, number one, he said that when the guy said, Hare alai mincha min ha-se'orim, she said, Lashon rishon nitfas. The first words, right, that says, Hare alai mincha. And Rabbi Shimon said, even davar acharon nitfas. The end also is important when he said, he has from the barley. And then bring a rabbi says, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Amar da'amar, af begamar dvarav adam nitfas. Rabbi Yossi also agrees that you look at what the end of the sentence is, the last things that he said, not only the first things that he said. But Rabbi Shimon said something else in Rashi. Rashi, Rabbi Shimon pointed out, Rabbi Shimon said that you have to do a nedava in a particular manner. If you don't do it in a proper manner, it's not considered. Now we are, you know, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon agree with each other with regards to davar acharon nitfas, the end of your sentence. But does Rabbi Yossi also hold like Rabbi Shimon that the nedava has to be done in the proper way or not? Right? Someone says, my love, isn't it so? When Rabbi Shimon sabalak Rabbi Yossi, when we know that Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi nami sabalak Rabbi Shimon. Maybe they're exactly across the board in the same. The one says that davar acharon nitfas, and the one says nedava in a particular way, and they both agree with each other on everything. Everyone says, no, Rabbi Shimon savalak Rabbi Yossi, velo Rabbi Yossi savalak Rabbi Shimon. So good Rashi, it's a long Rashi of yeah. You know, go to the Rashi, skip over the next Rashi of Shimon, go, my love, Rabbi Shimon savalak Rabbi Yossi, betfisat gamar dvarim, with regards to the last things that he says, because that Rabbi Yossi holds, Rabbi Shimon says like that as well, right? Rabbi Yossi savalak Rabbi Shimon, ben mitnadev shlo kederech hamitnadvim, shlo amar klum vahid atonu shlo mituk bek Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon each have a particular issue. The one says that you've got to make a nadava when you make a korban, dedicate in a particular way, and if you didn't do it, it's not a korban. And the one says that the last words are also important. Rabbi Shimon says the donation is important. Rabbi Yossi says the last words are important. Rabbi Shimon agrees with Rabbi Yossi that your last words also count. But does Rabbi Yossi give Rabbi Shimon that if the donation wasn't a donation, it's not a donation? Maybe it could be, even if it wasn't done properly. And that's what the Gemara says. If Rabbi Shimon holds Rabbi Yossi with regards to the last words that you want to say, Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold Rabbi Shimon's other demand, which is it has to be a proper dedication, and therefore Rabbi Yossi could still get away with this and say that the way Tudus did it, even though it wasn't properly dedicated, it could have been a problem. Okay, so Ibai Elehu. Now the Gemara is interested to know who this Tudus is. Right, Ibai Elehu. Tudus Ishromi Gavra Rabbi, was he really a great guy? Like when we say great at the time, Chochem, a big important guy, the very first wide line Rashi at the top there. Because of his kavod, they never. Or bale grofin hava. Or is it a tough guy, a bully? And therefore, I mean, look at Rashi. Or bale grofin, they were scared of him. So there's the question. A grof, yeah, from fist. He was take you on. So he wants to say, Toshma, we bring in a bright, which is like, Odzo darash. Tudus Ishromi. You see that Tudus Ishromi taught something. Rashi already says, the fact that it says, Yadarash al Megavir Rabbahu. We see this. He's teaching halacha, obviously an important guy. Ma ra'u Hanani Mishal Azari Yashem Ashu Atzman HaKudosh Hashem Lekib Shanaish. What caused Rabbi Hanani and Mishal Azari, these guys, to throw themselves into the fire? Why would they appear to die? Nasu Kabachomi Batzman Mitzvah Deim. They learned Kabachomi from the frogs. This is relevant to Pesach, right? We see in the Makot. Right? Umatzvar de'im she'en mitzuvin HaKadosh Hashem. Frogs have got no mitzvah to be mekadosh Hashem Shamayim. Right? Ketiv behu. And what did it say about the frogs? Ubau v'alu b'vetecha. They came in the house, look at the pasuk here. V'sharat ha'yor. The Nile became full of frogs. V'alu v'al b'vetecha. They came to the houses. U'b'chadar mishkavecha. Into your bedrooms. V'al mitatecha. Into your beds. V'etavadecha. Into where you were working. U'v'amecha. Into your neighbors. U'b'tarech. Into your ovens. U'b'misharotecha. Misharotecha here, like, is into your pots. All your cooking utensils. How does that translate in English, Misharotecha, by the way? So Gemara says, okay, so what is the Misharotecha in English? It's like your cooking utensils and that, and pots. Anybody got English there? No one got English Gemara with the English translation? Kneading bowls. Kneading bowls, okay. Right? So Emma time is short, but short etzla tanur. When do you have your pots and your kneading bowls that you're next to the fire? Habomer b'sha'a she'a tanur cham. When the tanur is hot. Right? Anu, so he says there, the frogs, they jumped into the bowls right by the fire. On the fire even. Anu she'metzuvin ha'kidush Hashem b'lach ha'kav ha'kameh. As we're all mitzvah b'kidush Hashem, says Zachariah Chanan v'Mishael Chanan v'Zachariah. How much more so? We're going to jump into the fire now. This is the time to do kidush Hashem Shemar. Rabbi Yossi bar Abin Amar, Matil Malai l'kishel tamin ha'chachamim haya. So now another answer who Tudus was. Rabbi Yossi bar Abin says he was a Matil Malai. What does it mean Matil Malai? Look at Rashi, yeah? Noten schorah l'tamin ha'chachamim l'istaker ba. He would supply the tamin ha'chachamim with goods so that they could go and sell it and make a living. It was a big bald stalker. But he didn't just give them money. He gave them goods which they could then go and trade and make their own panosa from. Look at this. Da'am Rabbi Yochanan, kol ha'metil ha'melah l'kis tamin ha'chachamim zocheh v'yosheh b'yishivah shel ma'ala. If you provide income to Tamil Chachamim in this way, you give them goods to sell, you will be sitting in the Beit Midrash of Mala, Shneemar, ki betzela chokhma, betzela kesef. Look at that. In the shadows of chokhma, the shadows of money. So basically, you provide them with income. It's a nice pasuk there for supporting Tamil Chachamim, by the way.
He was a wholesaler.
So he was a, what he didn't sell them, he gave them. Looks like he matil.
Wow. Could have sold
also. Oh, maybe. But I mean, then it's just anybody is selling them. I mean, you have to do something nice.
But he's giving them the opportunity.
But anyway, I could have bought from anybody. Why is it making him a great guy? Because he's selling Chachamim. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I understood it as he's, that the way Rashi says here, Matil Mala Noten Schora. Doesn't say sell. It says Noten. He would give, Rashi says. He would give goods, give produce. Provide them with stuff to go and say. Okay. But then you missed them. Makom Shtav Gur Adlikin Aner, but later Yom HaKippurim Adlikin. There were some minhagim not to light on every Yom Kippur. And Makom Shnah Gush Lo Adlik Ein Madlikin. Right? So if there were, is a minhag light, is a minhag don't light. Umadlikin Badek Nisro Batei Midrash Shot. But if you do light, everybody would agree in the Beit Knesset, in the Beit Midrash, B'mvot Afelim, and in the dark alleys, V'al Gabe Acholim, and for sick people. So now, why wouldn't you want to sick the Kavirash? Is the Gemara explain why we might not want to light candles. So Tana, we got a brighter. Bein she'amru lahadlik, bein she'amru shlo lahadlik. Whether you said lahadlik, do light or not light, shnehem ledavar echad it come. Rashi saying, the Gemara is saying that both of them, both these opinions, these minhagim come to attain the same purpose. Right? They both have the same objective in mind. Right? Look at Rashi over here. He says, "Bain Shem Lahadlik, or Tan Shnagu Lahadlik, Vahanoa Gin Shem Lahadlik." Both of them, irrespective of what law need kavdu elav davar echad. What was it? La frish atzmo mi mishka veisha. We know that one of the things you aren't allowed to do on Yom Kippur is to have relations with your wife or with any other woman, for that matter, right? Or with any other man, if you're a woman, right? And Haomim Lahadlik, and those people who say that you should light the candle. Why do they say light the candle? Mishum de'ein adam misham shom mitato loor aner, because you don't have relations in dark in the light. Therefore, if you don't have a candle, it's one way to make sure you won't come to have relations. And those who say that you don't light a candle, right? Sovrim kashehaner dolek. They think when roeti shto mitavela. If he sees his wife in the light, so therefore he might have a taiva and come to have relations. Therefore, keep the room dark. So, however you look at it, both of them have got the same. Have got the same. Intentions. Amar Rav Yeshua, Darash Rav Ba'amech, Kulam Tzadikim, Le'olam Yishu Aretz. We know this pasuk, right? This pasuk, Amakol Zigno Resh Aretz, Netze Matai, Masa Yara Yitpa'er. So it says, Bain Shamu Hadik, Bain Shamu Lola Hadik, Shneem Lo Nikavnu Ere Dabar Echad. That's the Tzadikim Am Yisrael. That even though they got a machloke, whether you do or you don't, it's all, at the end of the day, to have this, achieve the same objective. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ein Mevarchin Ala Or, Erem Motzei Shabbos. Why? Hoyil v'tchidat priyatohu. Important, write this down. This is the makor. Nice source. We make avdola with a candle. We make a borei morei ha'esh. Why? Because the candle was created in Motzei Shabbos. Now, does this sound right to you that you only make a bracha on a candle in Motzei Shabbos? No. We make a candle as well when? Can't hear you, Selwyn? No, okay. We talk about morei ha'esh, the bracha on light. Not on the brachas on light in candle. Motzei?
I mean,
with a sun. No, Motzei Yom Kippur. I know this because we had an issue here at our shul once about that the whole thing about on Yom Kippur, you have to have a candle that was Shavat, that it lit the whole of Yom Kippur. We went to the candle out of it, and somebody went. So, in my mind, it's like embedded in my mind this trauma from lighting a candle once in Yom Kippur that never Shavat. Okay? But Rashi actually points it out. He says, Amarehu Sabavita Rabbi Barbachana, Yashar, well done, Shkoach in what you said over there. Shafir Kamarta, and he says, Evachain Amrabi Yochanan. Right? Rabbi Yochanan says the same thing. So Ula have a Rachiv Khamba Vazi, who was his donkey, have a Shakivazi, Rabbi Abba Bimina, and his Rach was Rabbi Abba. But Rabbi Barbachana, Mismon, Rabbi Barbachana on the left. This was Rabbi Barbachana who just said, Yashar, Shkoach. That you only light a can like a broch on a candle on Motzei Shabbos. Samale Rabbi Abba Laula Vadai Damritu Mishmaid Rabbi Yochanan Ein Mevarchin Or El Motzei Shabbos Hoyel V'Tchilat Priat Tohu. He says obviously what Rabbi Barachanan must have said was that Rabbi Yochanan. And he said Rabbi Yochanan because that's the Priya. So Hadar Ula Ula looked at him, looked back. Chazabei Rabbi Barachanan Bishot. He looked at Rabbi Barachanan. So Rabbi Rachana wasn't looking so happy. Look at Rashi over here, Bishot. He says over here, Nistakel bo bepanim zo'afot. He like gave this glare to Rabbi Rachana. Klomar ata amarte b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, he's implying to Rabbi Rachana that you said Rabbi Yochanan's name. For who lo amarkein? He never said that. Ela af b'motzei Yom Kippur mevarchin alav. Even on Yom Kippur, you can't say only motzei Shabbat, motzei Yom Kippur. Hoyel v'davar chadashu shneesar bo kol hayom v'achshav nitnu imenu. Why? Because you were asher the whole Shabbat to get hana from it, and now you're getting hana, you light the candle as well. So that is what Ula says to Rabbi Barachana. So Amar lei, so he says, so Ula says, ana lava haya amar. So sorry, Rabbi Barachana says to Ula, ana lava hamre. Elaha Amrei, the Tani Tanakam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Yom HaKippurim Shechal Rabbi Shabbat, Af Makom Sham Shlo Adlik Madlikim Imnei Kvod HaShabbat. That's what I said, that if Shabbos and Yom Kippur on the same day, even places which don't normally light candles in Yom Kippur, they do light them on Shabbos. That's what I said. That's what I mentioned. V'ani Rabbi Yochanan Batrei, Rabbi Yochanan answered him, V'chachamim Osrim, and Chachamim Oser, that even if on Shabbos you don't light the candle, and Amar Lei, Ada tehe, zot tihye, he says, bezo ani modeh, shom yochanan. That I agree with Yochanan said, in the Fabiyah.